Hello, church.
Hello.
Good evening. Let's start off in Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 6. I'm going to bring out I want to visit a couple of topics this evening that I've been thinking about for a while. And the first of which will be out of Luke chapter 6. It's a really quick one in verse 46. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" I ponder about this a lot, even in my own life, trying to come up with answers to certain questions in my self-examination. And one of the things I've heard, the way this best explained, these two points actually, was a message from Steve Doty years back. And I really appreciated that. He says that if we're walking in the Spirit, you will naturally do the things of the Lord because that is your mindset. So that is really paramount to the Christian. Secondly, if you'll turn to John 13, is another great point that he unpackaged in this that I had never considered. In John 13, we'll start in verse 4. Jesus got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter and he said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." Peter said to him, Never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then not only wash my feet, but also wash my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew that one was betraying him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and right, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you." Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it is truly encouraging that such wisdom can be bestowed upon us, that we can know your thoughts. And because of our Lord Jesus, that we can have the mind of Christ if we, in obedience of faith, follow him and follow his example. So we're just very grateful for his example. And as we continue to overcome the flesh, as we overwhelmingly conquer this world because he has conquered it, may we continually be considering the example that he has given us. We're so grateful for King Jesus, and it is in his name that I pray. Amen. Okay, so Let's look at this a little closer. He says, "You do not know, but you will. You do not understand." And it's interesting what Peter said. "No way, Lord. No way will you wash my feet." And then Jesus said, "Well, then you won't have any part in me." And he says, "Okay, not only my feet, but wash my hands and my head too." And it's interesting what Jesus responded. He said, "No, you've been washed. Those that have been washed, we only need to clean your feet." And I struggled with this for a while to kind of come to an understanding of what was he working on here. And can you imagine, let's just set this up. back in the day, they would bathe in the morning and pretty much stay clean all day except for their feet, because it was a really dry, arid place. It was really dusty, and they wore sandals. You can't walk down the street without needing your feet washed. So Jesus said, those who are already clean, really you only need to wash your feet. What does he mean by this? Let's turn to John 15. And this explains what he said earlier. He says in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. See, God does the heavy lifting, doesn't he? He does most of the work, but we still have our part in this, don't we? In 1 Peter 1, verses 2 and 3, let's just go ahead and turn there, everyone. I was just going to read it for time's sake, but this is an important one. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. So, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest. Blessed be the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Through obedience of truth. Is that what I wanted? I think I made a mistake in my notes, so that's strike one. So at any rate, through our obedience to truth, the truth that God gives us, this part that I was looking for is our souls will be purified. And I'm not sure how I missed that. But at any rate, we are cleansed through the obedience of faith. And He's done the heavy cleaning for us. But we still have our part, don't we? And I think that's what he's getting at here in this verse. And okay, thanks. There you go. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Thank you. That was quite important to my point. Obedience and truth therefore purified our souls. So my point to that is God does a lot of the heavy cleaning, doesn't he? But he still expects us to do our part. That's why he says in verses 14 and 15 of John 13, this is my example. So now that I've given you this example, do this for each other. So in other words, he says, submit to one another. Be subject to one another. Help one another. Clean off that last little dust that needs to be cleaned. Whatever the remnants of that, help each other do that. Be subject to one another. In order to do that, though, that has to come from a true and contrite spirit, doesn't it? It has to come from a pure heart. Otherwise, it's going to be meaningless. And that's true in any situation for the Christian, really, is to have Lord, help me have the motives of my heart be pure. May my interest be for those of others. So, in submitting to one another, is that natural to the flesh? To submit to someone? Man, it is not. Is that the natural behavior for the natural or carnal man, is that going to be natural to him? No. Turn to Isaiah 55. In Isaiah 55, in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. So when that was written, that was a true statement. Definitely. And for the natural or the carnal man, even today that's true. But guess what, Christian, for you, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 9, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Guess what that means, Christian? His thoughts are your thoughts. Amen. His ways are your ways. Or at least they should be in Christ, if we're walking by the Spirit. It's impossible for the natural man to achieve this. For the natural man cannot please God, nor can he fulfill the righteousness of God. Why is that? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Keep a thumb in Isaiah. We'll go back there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, go ahead and turn there. I wanted to pick up a quick note in passing. In Romans chapter 7, in verse 14, Paul tells us that the law is spiritual, and I, being carnal, cannot fulfill it. That was before Christ, keep in mind. So we have to understand that God didn't bring His spiritual law down to us. He elevated man by making him spiritual. So when Paul wrote later in Romans chapter 8, now there is no condemnation in Christ. That is great encouragement. You see, the carnal man that is anchored to the earth, he cannot understand the spiritual law. You have to be made spiritual man of Christ in order to do that. Okay, so back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us from God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For it's the quote, "Who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him?" But we have the mind of Christ. Natural man cannot please God, nor can he fulfill the righteousness of God without the mind of God, without the mind of the Lord. The Spirit indwelt Christian can, for we have the Spirit of Christ. That is, again, if we are walking in the Spirit. See, it's all about our mind. What is our mindset as we walk? Turn to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, we'll read verse 3, 4, and 5. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, we need to submit ourselves to one another. And another way of saying that is we need to serve one another. We need to put the needs of others before our own. In doing that, in a Christ-like way, washing each other's feet. So this really brought this all full circle for me, and I really appreciated the breakdown of that. But it's interesting. In verse 5, the New King James says it this way. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Isn't that interesting? Let this mind be in you. With the mind of Christ be in you. If you have the mind of Christ, would it be reasonable to say that your thoughts would be in line with His thoughts? Should be. Look, it's said many times, I've heard it said many times, that the body will act upon that which fills the heart. In other words, the mind. What fills the mind? All human behavior is belief driven. What do you believe? What do you think of? What do you ponder? All human belief, all human behavior is belief driven. What you believe, you will achieve. Man, this is important stuff. The mindset is so important. That's why I appreciated what Larry was saying. 1 hour a week on Sunday isn't going to get her done. Not if you're serious about serving Christ. Turn to Isaiah chapter 11. In Isaiah chapter 11, we'll catch verses 1 and 2. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from its roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Skip down to verse 6. And the wolf will dwell with a lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf with the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The shoot, the branch will bear fruit. The Spirit shows up and lands on him, and bam! All of the animals get along. Huh? Is that what it's talking about, is the critters? Probably not. What's he talking about? I think what he's talking about is when you take... Okay, so again, if you take carnal, fleshly humans, in groups such as blacks and whites, say Palestinians and Jews, how about ISIS and the rest of the world? It's not going to go real well, is it? It's not going to be real pleasant. But look at this. When you put Spirit-dwelt Christians together, it's all good. It's the mindset. What drives them? What's important to them? Do they have common ground? Without Christ, I'm not sure how much common ground I'd have with most of you. Top of that list would be my wife. Just being honest. I mean, back we've talked about this. Back in the 80s, when I was a young guy, Russians were the enemy. And she says the same thing about America. Yeah, Americans were, they were evil. The whole time they were spewing these lies to us, as we've figured out, wasn't true. None of it was true. I grew up thinking communism was horrible. In the philosophy, at the base of it is, but the people were horrible. Here I am in Christ, and my wife is Russian. That's a great example. When you have Christ's mindset, when you have the mind of Christ, those things fall away. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Notice here in this section, it says, let the mind be in you. We don't have to. We don't have to submit to one another. We don't have to know what this book says. We don't have to do anything, do we? It's a choice. Anyone understands the status quo? Everyone understands the status quo, right? You always do the things that you've always done. You'll always get what you already got. If you do what you've always done, you're going to get the same results. It took me a long time to figure that out. A lot of times a bump in my head against the wall. Why is that? Why is that if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you already got? What was it, Nolan? Mindset. Yeah. The mindset. Our mindset has to be transformed. If we're truly citizens of Zion, our minds have to change. That's why Ephesians 4, verse 21 says, well, let's turn there. We better go. Running out of time. I can preach over, though, because of my teacher. I'll be like my teacher. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created for righteousness and holiness and truth. In the newness, renewed in the spirit of your mind. The mindset. So important. People come to Christ, and I know, I'm speaking from experience, people come to Christ and try to implement their past knowledge and their past experiences in the flesh, and lo and behold, nothing changes. Only when I realized how I would change, only when I realized how God saw me, did I start to make real changes. And only when I bought into that, it took me a long time. People expect to have these different way of life, different rewards and blessings when they come to Christ, but they never change their mindset. And nothing changes. They never really change their way of thinking or their mindset. If I'm still experiencing the same struggles I had pre-Christ, I need to stop and ask why. What's my mindset? Do I actively control what goes into this? Because I've said it before up here, if you don't control that, it will default to the world. It will default to the flesh. Guaranteed. I struggled with my pre-Christ philosophies and ideals. Why? Because I didn't have the mind of Christ. I'll say it again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. This is more complicated than that. It takes a while. It's taken me a long time, and I still have a long ways to go. But you better be moving forward. You better be renewing your mind daily, because we are inundated with the negative. Every day, even if you actively, diligently pursue those things, they're just going to be flying in front of you, flying in your face. You got to keep your foot on the gas and never let up. And I'm talking from my personal experience here. The same is true for a group of people. What areas do we need to improve? As leadership, we ask those same questions. We need to work on these things. But you know what? It starts at the individual level. as an assembly, we need to be asking, what do I need to work on to be a better part of the body of Christ? Remember what the Lord said. First, remove the plank out of your own eye, dude. You can't tell someone else how to do that until the plank is out of your own eye. Especially to remove a speck out of their eye. It doesn't work. So we have to be right with the Lord individually before we can be right as an assembly, as a group. It takes all of us working individually as a unit to be collective corporately. Our work is eternally important, brethren. Eternally important. Important for ourselves and for those we come in contact with. Important work. So, let's remember these two things. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. The mind of Christ. That's available to us. Are we practicing that? Are we engaging in that? I'm telling you, for the longest time, I didn't. And it showed in my walk. Encourage you to have the mind of Christ. If you walk in a manner of that mindset, you will by default be a citizen of Zion and by action. It's important that our actions will represent our mindset. And so you do as he did, you'll get the same result he did. If we do what Christ did, then we'll walk as Christ walked. So it's important to follow his example. And we're right on top at 8 o'clock. So thank you for your attention.